This is the son of PCJ.
Hello, I'm Keith Parent.
And I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Paulette, I don't know about you, but I think we should take a little break and not really introduce this show. I have two other people in mind.
Sounds good to me.
This is PCJ Radio.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Parent.
Hello and welcome to the first monthly installment of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. I'm Keith Parent in Taiwan.
I'm Paulette Macquarie in Canada. Over the next 55 minutes, we will talk radio, both old and new, the trends and the people involved.
That's right. A question that we've had over the past 2 weeks is, why do this show? Well, since PCJ started airing Vintage Media Network with Jonathan Marks, a number of you have asked that we do some new shows. Well, to do a weekly program at this time would be a little bit impossible as we don't have enough resources, but we can offer a monthly version of the program.
We should also mention, Keith, that Media Network Plus is an independent production. It is not connected in any way with Radio Netherlands Worldwide and Jonathan Marks. We will, however, use news items from the Media Network blog at Radio Netherlands. So a special thank you goes to blogmaster Andy Sennett.
Coming up in this first edition, we will look at radio station K103, located at the Kanesetake Reserve, south of Montreal in Canada.
We'll also find out how people in the world's most secretive state get information from the outside world. That state is the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, otherwise known as North Korea. That will be in an interview with the founder and director of Open Radio North Korea.
We will also announce the winners of a giveaway of a TV special produced in 2001 for the 60th anniversary of China Radio International. We have this and much, much more, so stay tuned. Well, there we go. That was the introduction to the first edition of Media Network Plus a long, long time ago. Well, actually, not really that long ago. It was 100 shows ago. Now, some people at this very moment are probably a little bit confused, Paulette, because depending on which show they listen to, either the 30-minute version or the 55-minute version, one show could be either show 99 and the next one would be show 100. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So we're going to call this one show 99 and show 100 at the same time.
Okay, well, let's just confuse everybody now.
Well, it's okay. I'm easily confused, so it doesn't matter. But actually, today's show, of course, is going to be a little bit different. We have some clips coming up and some other little tidbits, as they say. But before we get to any of that, Paulette, now we've known each other for quite some time, and of course you do Nash Hollis, and you've been doing radio for quite some time now, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long?
Started in 1990.
1990.
Mm-hmm. 10 years before we met you.
Ah. And how did it begin for you?
Well, it was kind of a fluke. I had just arrived in Vancouver from Winnipeg, kicking and screaming. My husband decided that we would move out here. And so I thought, actually, when I came to Vancouver, that I was the only Ukrainian person here, because in Winnipeg, there's Ukrainian on every other street corner. But in Vancouver, at that time, actually, it was known as Hongcouver, okay. Because there was a huge influx of immigrants from Hong Kong. That was back in late 1980s. And so somehow the Ukrainian community found me, and they were just going into a period of renaissance, and they were having all kinds of projects, and I thought, oh, good, something for me to do. And I was signing up left, right, and center, and somebody decided that they wanted to start a radio program. They said to me, Paulette, would you like to host the radio program? And I said, would I? So that's how it started.
So what happened? Were they like walking the streets, holding up signs saying, "We're looking for Ukes. Hello, are you a Uke? Are you?" Is that how they were doing it?
You know what? I can't remember. Somebody called me. I don't really. It's so long ago. I can't remember. Sorry, but they found me. Ukrainians do that.
So they wanted to start this little radio show, and where was it airing? And when you first got involved with it, what were you thinking? Were you just like, oh, this seems like fun?
Actually, yes, that was exactly it. I thought this would sound like fun. Now, there was a little bit of a problem because the people that hired me on realized, oh, just a second, this girl doesn't really speak Ukrainian that well, as I'm a second-generation Canadian. My parents were born in Canada. And so my language skills were not quite up to snuff. And so they couldn't uninvite me because I was a keener and they didn't want to discourage that. So they just brought me some Ukrainian co-hosts, and that was actually...
I like the way she's a keener. You're like, oh, this bright, happy little girl. They're like, oh, well, let's keep her amused, right?
That's kind of actually exactly how it was, Keith. And you can laugh all you like. I'm still a Pollyanna after all these years. But yeah, that's how it started. So they got me some Ukrainian co-hosts, and so they did the Ukrainian language part. I did the English. I did some Ukrainian, but I kind of was the English language voice, and that was really how the Nash Holis evolved into something that was bilingual. And now, of course, it's more English than Ukrainian because it targets an audience that does not necessarily speak Ukrainian but does like the culture, and so. That's kind of how it all started in a nutshell.
But, I mean, eventually over time, you became the sole host of the show.
Yes. Well, that show ran, that incarnation from 1990 to 1996 ran with the three of us co-hosting it as volunteers for 6 years. Management changed at the station, and we, the three of us, just went our separate ways because we had different things going on in our lives, birth of a baby, a marriage, a new career change. So we just amiably split, and for 4 years, I was very happily... had put radio behind me, and I thought that was it. That was going to be the end of ethnic radio for me. And then our mutual friend, Ed, who was a manager at the station that we were at, gave me a call right out of the blue. Coincidentally, after the day after I received a tape in the mail, a cassette tape from somebody I connected with on the internet, who he was a member of the Ukrainians and had just gone solo himself. And I thought, he'd sent me a tape of his music. This is cassette tape. This is back in 2000. And the first time in 4 years, I said to my husband, you know, I think I really miss doing radio. I wish I had somebody to share this music with. The very next day, Ed Yolanin called me and said, how would you like to do ethnic radio? And I said, oh, no, Ed, thanks, but I mean, I'm done. And he's a very super salesman, as you know. And he said, oh, just temporary, just for now, just for a little while, maybe for about 13 programs. And being a salesman, and of course, I had just had that cassette the day before and wishing I had somebody to share Ukrainian music with. So he knew the button, and he pushed it. And so I said, okay, it's just temporary. Well, Ed's long gone, and I'm still there, 12 years later, 13 years later.
Well, guess what we have now, Paulette?
What do we have now?
Well, you were going through your archives, and you came across a show. What year is it from? 1990?
The very first, my radio debut.
Your radio debut. Let's listen to it now.
A musical portrait of the Carpathian Mountains, Чудово-народні пісні у горах Карпатах, and that's performed by certainly one of the most distinctive voices in contemporary Ukrainian music, Kvitka Tsisik from New York, and that is a song taken from an album that won 4 gold records at the Ukrainian North American Music Awards back in Festival 88. The album is called Kvitka. If you haven't picked up a copy yet, be sure you do, because that is one wonderful album. Pavlina, what do we have up next?
Our next selection, well, before I talk about the selection, I'd just like to bring it from the Carpathian Mountains to the Rocky Mountains and just let you know about a little event that's going to be happening in the Rocky Mountains in the town of Kamloops. This Sunday, there'll be a performance of Vinko Pletenia under the musical direction of our own Kvitka Kozak. It'll be held at the Kamloops Orthodox Center at 2 p.m. sharp. Admission is free and donations will be gladly accepted. What we'd like to do right now is just have a little excerpt from the tape that the group has made, just to give you a little taste of what's to come on Sunday.
And there we have it, a very young little girl, Paulette Macquarie, back in 1990, way before she was influenced by wine, doing an early incarnation of Nash Holos.
Yes. And incidentally, that was exactly 10 years before we met, Keith, if you recall. That was 2000 at CHMB. And that was, first ran into you, this, handsome young man with a big smile and a crazy sense of humor, a perpetual twinkle in his eye, always something up his sleeve. And you were there for about a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
We were working on a license application together, and then you were helping me. You were my tech. You were doing the board for me as I was getting used to learning the ropes myself there. So then you went away to Hong Kong.
Oh, actually, to China.
To China, that's right. Yeah, to China. And that was certainly not the first that you had ever been in a radio studio. When did you start? You started a long time before I did, and you're a lot younger than I am.
Well, I mean, it's funny, I was thinking about this, and I've actually been in radio for nearly 25 years.
Wow.
But actually, I just remembered something not too long ago. Actually, it even goes back a little further. And it was television. The first time that I ever did anything public in the media, I think I was, 11 or 12 years old. And I just remember this because somebody sent me the clip. But there used to be a show in Montreal that aired on CFCF 12, which is the CTV affiliate in Montreal. They had a summer series called High Noon that was hosted by a guy by the name of Ralph Lockwood, who worked at an AM station called CKGM. And he used to do this summer series, High Noon, and every summer they would go to different parts of Montreal and record a whole week of shows on location somewhere. And somebody sent me this clip that I'd forgotten about when I was, like I said, 11 or 12 years old. And they would have like little games and they're like little contests and you can win, let's say, coupons to a restaurant or something. And I was on that show. And I have to tell you one thing. I wish they destroyed that clip.
Why?
I just didn't want to see it.
Oh, you were probably adorable.
Oh, God, no, absolutely horrendous, but, yeah, so, I mean, that was really the first time. But I don't know what it is, but I think it was something that I had always wanted to do. I mean, when I was growing up, I think, I remember at home, we had television. But I remember the radio was always playing. And I still remember the stations. It was either CJAD, CKGM, or CFCF 600, which was the one of the AM stations at the time, which is no longer around. So we always had the radio playing, and then we had, my dad that would listen to the BBC World Service and Radio Moscow and all these other stations internationally. And I think that's what sort of sparked my interest because I mean, I was a strange kid. And I would listen to shows and I would be thinking the oddest things. Things like, what are they doing in the studio now? How do they mix the show? This is the kind of stuff that I was thinking about. And that sort of sparked my interest. And then I got a summer job when I was in high school, working as a gopher in a local radio station in Montreal. This is back in the days before the internet. It was ripping news copy off teletype machines, giving them to the right people, getting somebody's coffee, getting something from reception. This is what I was doing. And then as I was there, there was one day a technician didn't show up and I said, I think I can do it. I watched other people and I started doing that. And I did that for a few weeks, and then I had to go back to school, back to high school. And there was a job posting that came up. They were looking for a newsreader between midnight and 6 a.m. Midnight and 6 a.m. And I didn't have a demo tape or anything, and I actually recorded one. Now, the thing is, I hadn't done it before, so I didn't know how to do it or what to do it. And basically, I just impersonated somebody reading news, and they hired me. That was the funniest thing. I mean, it was terrible. And you know, then eventually I moved to other places. And then I think one of the big break for me was in the early 90s. It was a station in Montreal, and they were looking for somebody to do Saturday mornings. And I went to see them, and they hired me. And the funny thing, Paula, this just shows my madness. They said, well, you know, this is what I want to do. And they said to me, what do you think should be a name? And I said, they said, come up with a name. And I said, okay, I'm going to call it Waking Up with Keith Parent. And the director of the station said, no, we can't do that. We can't have your name in the show title. And I said, okay, well, I'll think of another name. But what happened was somebody in the programming department who I'd spoken to the day before had already printed the program schedules and sent out press releases saying, we have a new show beginning on this date called Waking Up with Keith Parent. So that ended up being the name.
That was one of my favorite art big band, the Skymasters, one of Holland's best big bands with I'm Old Fashioned. I can hear the logger alarm going in the background. Coming up next is the Ritz of comedy shows with Beta Wayne as he brings to you an array of comical journey through the world of comedy with some very interesting things. You know, there's certain albums that he plays on, that Beta plays on his program that, you know, I am a big comedy fan, and there was a time when I used to buy a lot of comedy albums, but these are albums that I've never come across. I mean, I think he must have over 5,000 comedy albums in his collection. It's very vast and very surprising quite often. Anyway, he's coming up at 7:30 in a few minutes, minute or so for now. I'll give out the address so you can get in touch with us. We're located, if you want to get in touch with me, it's Waking Up with Keith Parent, care of English Service, 5212 Boulevard Saint-Laurent, Montreal, Quebec, H2T1S1. And our phone number...
Poet, wasn't that scary or what?
That was really fun going back in time like that.
Oh, it was frightening. And you know, the funny thing is that show, I used to say on the show at the beginning, and I started saying it, I think, after the fourth show, I used to say, welcome to Waking Up with Keith Parent, and hopefully you also went to bed with me.
Oh. Way to get yourself into trouble.
Yeah. This was a radio station. I think we'll talk about it on another show, but I think I told you about there were two women at the show and I made some comment on
her. Oh, no, let's not go there.
No, we'll do that on a future show because I found that clip.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's no. It's very, very funny. Anyway, you're listening to Media Network Plus, show 99 or show 100. Because we're combining the two. Now, when this show began, it was only a monthly program. And I think we did 12 or 13 shows before we went weekly. And when we started doing the show weekly, we started to introduce propagation reports for DXers and SWLs and radio amateurs out there to have an idea of what they can expect for radio propagation, and we contacted Dan Hensley, who does that weekly for us. And I spoke to Dan this week before we did today's program, and we talked about exactly that, propagation. Something actually that's quite common for anybody that watches television or, you know, listens to the radio or works in both mediums, and that, of course, is the weather forecaster. And everybody, of course, loves making fun of the guy who says, and tomorrow we're expected to get a high of 28 degrees and beautiful sunny weather. And then you wake up in the morning and it's raining or snowing. Of course, there's the other side of the coin where he says, tomorrow we're expected to get very high winds and a low of minus 50 degrees. And then it's 38 degrees outside and sunny and everybody's walking around in bikinis. Mind you, there are some people that shouldn't walk around in bikinis. Ugh, I happen to be one of them. But nevertheless, speaking of weather, there of course is something called space weather, or you could also call it propagation that affects radio waves, not of all types, from terrestrial to satellite to shortwave, everything. In mobile communications as well, everything. And as you know, since we started doing the 30-minute edition of Media Network Plus, Dan Hensley joins us weekly for a look at what's happening in propagation. And I think now I should make a joke about this. He's now joining us from his home in Chicago in the United States. Dan, let me ask you, are you planning at some point to say propagation conditions are going to be bad, but then they're actually good?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because of the fact that if you say they're going to be good and they turn out to be bad, everybody's going to jeer you. And then if you say they're going to be bad and they turn out to be good, you know, everybody's going to be like, what's up? You know, space weather is not like our earthbound weather because of the fact that it changes literally by the hour, sometimes even by the minute. So it's really hard to say within an accurate window what's really actually going to happen because propagation varies by region on the Earth, especially is better by large bodies of water or large expanses of space on Earth where, you know, that space holds extra moisture.
Right.
So it all just depends.
I'm going to remind you of something. This was some time ago, and I remember you said on your forecast at the end, you said, expect good listening for the next 7 days, and we'll see you in 7 days' time. And the third day after that went out, I was listening to it. I don't remember what station it was, and the station was there. It was strong. All of a sudden, it started to disappear, little by little, and then completely vanished, and everything on that band in 31 meters, 49 meters, and 22 meters vanished into thin air, and I thought to myself, I've got to talk to this guy one day.
Yes, that happens, and that's the nature of propagation. It has a behavior all its own, and unfortunately, it can't be controlled by anything or anybody, and you know, things like that can happen due to rotation of sun flares out of the view of the Earth-facing side of the sun. It can happen as a result of a solar flare. It can just happen as a result of the ionization in our various layers of Earth's atmosphere changing, the level of moisture in your area changing. Earthbound weather will affect how we receive propagation on a regional basis. So any of those things can affect it. I mean, one of the things that will especially hurt propagation, I have found, will be lightning. Mm-hmm. Lightning, that's it. If you've had good propagation and then you get a thunderstorm, your propagation's gone.
Now, one thing I've noticed, especially with propagation forecasts, usually at the end of every year or the beginning of every year, or sometimes in the middle of the year, they'll say, oh, by the way, in the year 2016, we're probably going to have a lot of more radio blackouts. And in 6 months from now, we're expected to have really good propagation. How do they figure this stuff out if something is like, you know, 2 years down the road or 3 years down the road?
Well, you know, the folks at the NASA Solar Dynamics Observatory and the NOAA work together, and they are, of course, constantly receiving updates from both professional and amateur space astronomers who are listening and watching to this stuff. So they are looking at their long-term data from the past and patterns that have happened, and they go on that information, they compile that, and they try to come up with a long-term idea of what's going to happen. And as we've seen with this solar cycle, everybody was saying, and you know, the solar cycle is going to be the best we've had, and it's going to be like it was back in the, you know, mid or late 80s, where you can work the world on less than 5 watts and all this and that. And it actually has not been a reality with this solar cycle. Activity has been rather low. We've seen weeks at a time where we've had a ton of sunspots, but propagation was actually not all that great. And when we have had good propagation, it's been spotty. It's been there and then it's been gone. And that's just the sun doing what it does.
Now, Media Network Plus goes out. The first transmission of the show is Saturday. We record on a Friday night. You usually send your report on Wednesday or Thursday. Has it ever happened, I mean, since you've been doing this, that you send it to me and 2 days go by and all of a sudden you say, damn, I think I made a mistake here?
It's actually happened to me only once, and that was last year when we had a solar flare that just NASA wasn't even expecting. It was just a last-second event. I sent the propagation report out. Everything was looking, you know, either poor to within reason, and I believe I forecasted at least reasonable propagation at that point. The numbers were looking reasonable, and then all of a sudden, we get the solar flare, and it just knocked everything out for the rest of the week.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot now, Dan. I have an email here that I printed off. And I didn't send it to you in advance because I want you to respond initially to this. This is from a listener who lives in, he lives in Indonesia, but he lives on Bali Island in Indonesia. And he put a question here. This is some time ago. And he wanted to know if when you do the propagation forecast, if these propagation forecasts have anything to do with, let's say, listening to planets. Does it also fall into that category?
I would say yes, because anything you can hear from outer space that emits a natural radio signal of its own or would receive, let's say, long-distance radio signals from Earth and could bounce it back our direction, absolutely. And here's a train.
It's okay. Just keep going. You can catch the next train.
And so what happens is that, we can't hear it. As a matter of fact, just recently I had posted on the PCJ Media Network Plus, or not Media Network Plus, but the PCJ Facebook page of an amateur astronomer who had caught, I believe it was Jupiter, making a little bit of noise, and propagation was just good enough to where you could hear the bursts of radio within the static between 19 and 22 megahertz early in the morning. So it does happen.
Okay, I have another email here. This is from Miyoko Hashita. He lives in southern Japan, and he wanted me to pose this question to you. This we came in a while ago, but I didn't want to send it to you in advance. But he wanted to know, with all the radio waves that are bouncing around the world, either it, he says here, microwave, shortwave, medium wave, FM, CB communications, military communications, television, DRM, all forms of digital communications. With all this stuff going on our tiny little planet, how far would you suspect this actually goes into outer space? And the reason why he mentions that, because he said, Keith, I would suggest you watch the movie Contact. I don't know if you've seen the movie, starring Jodie Foster. Fantastic movie. She works for the SETI Institute. You can look for SETI online. It's amazing, an amazing story. But essentially, they all of a sudden one day pick up this radio signal. And it's not a radio signal as such, but it was bounced from planet Earth during the 1930s, and it went somewhere else, and then it was sent back to Earth, but there was an encoding in it to build some kind of time-traveling space machine. What are the chances of this stuff really just going out for light years and light years? Is that possible?
Well, you know, radio signals know no bounds. So anything generated here on Earth that's within the VHF, UHF, or higher range, absolutely, you can. It will propagate outside of our atmosphere. That's how we have amateur satellite communications. That's how the space shuttle is able to use satellite links to communicate during missions. Back and forth to the ground at NASA. These things do happen. But, I mean, it's not going to be like you see in a movie or television. As a matter of fact, I'm not even aware of how far signals actually will travel out into space and how far our signals from Earth can be heard, because there's just no studies on it.
Right. So, I mean, but just in case right now, Dan, maybe, you know, who knows, maybe in 1,000 years from now, there's some, you know, some far off planet in some other galaxy and Mr. Spock is sitting there. Do you have a message for him?
That would be interesting if I could, but actually, no, I don't have a message.
you could just say, listen, you're part human. Get over it already, you know?
That would be funny.
All right, Dan Hensley, thank you very much for joining us today. And Dan will be back with his normal propagation report next week. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
And that was my conversation with Dan Hensley, who's our propagation editor, talking about, well, how he got interested in radio, space propagation, and other things. You're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, the 55-minute edition, or monthly edition, that is, of the program.
Mm-hmm. And because we have a little bit more time on this program, we can bring you a bit of music. And coming up next, we've got Monday Evening Gray Line by the Ham Band.
Well, I woke up Monday evening with the VKs and the ZLs booming in. Way down there, it's Tuesday morning. There's the dateline in between. 2 whole days of talking to what seemed to be 100,000 friends. Was it really worth it? Well, I guess that it depends. On the Monday evening gray line, all the signals 5 and 9. But I don't feel much like talking with my marriage on the line. I should have seen those giveaway signs. I should have listened to her too. Now the Monday evening gray line seems to turn from gray to blue. Well, it's time to think it over. Yes, it's time to pull that big switch on the wall. A hangover was never half as bad, at least as far as I recall. Better make a go of picking up the broken pieces of my life. Bitter words were spoken, I feel the twisting of the knife. On the Monday evening gray line, all the signals 5 and 9. But I don't feel much like talking with my marriage on the line. I should have seen those giveaway signs. I should have listened to her too. Now the Monday evening gray line seems to turn from gray to blue. On the Monday evening gray line, all the signals 5 and 9. But I don't feel much like talking with my marriage on the line. I should have seen those giveaway signs. I should have listened to her too. Now the Monday evening gray line seems to turn from gray to blue. Now the Monday evening gray line seems to turn from gray to blue.
And that was the Ham Band with Monday Evening Gray Line.
They actually have a really interesting CD, Poet, and I have to remember, after we finish doing the show, I will upload it to our FTP so you can actually take a listen to it, because all the songs are about radio.
Awesome. That would be so neat.
And there's a video to that song, and they're actually at the top of this huge radio tower.
Oh, really?
And it's a husband and wife team, and she told me, because I interviewed them before, she said she's afraid of heights.
Oh, really?
She's afraid of heights. And they're singing the song on top of this radio tower. He's dressed in a tuxedo. She's holding a clutching to the antenna to hold on to her life, holding a bottle of champagne, and they're singing this song.
Wow. Now there's dedication to your craft.
Exactly. Now, Paulette, I believe I've told you about this gentleman before, a gentleman by the name of Dick Speakman.
Yes.
And many of our listeners who've been listening for many, many years will definitely know that name. Dick Speakman is originally from Australia. And in the 1970s, he worked at Radio Netherlands. He also took over DX Jukebox from Harry Van Gelder. After he left Radio Netherlands, he went to Radio Australia, where he hosted RA's weekly communications program, Spectrum. Now, there's an interesting story about Dick Speakman, but first let's take a listen to a little bit of Dick Speakman from, I think it was 1984.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much for those kind words, and it will be very nice for me to, in fact, just for a change, be heard fairly clearly there from Radio Earth. And you have, of course, extremely good reception there in most of the America, something which I wasn't able to achieve via the facilities of Radio Australia. So thank you very much for that. I'm really looking forward to appearing from time to time on Radio Earth. Just to give you a little bit of background about myself, because I'm sure that a lot of people really wouldn't have heard from me.
Dick Speakman from 1984, from a station that Jeff White started called Radio Earth. Yes, how many of you remember that? That's going back quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, Paulette, when I brought back the Happy Station show in 2009, I remember for the first show, I was trying to think of people who either worked with Tom or Radio Netherlands to actually come on the show and have some recorded messages. And Bob Zanotti reminded me of Dick Speakman, because I'd almost forgotten about him. And I said, well, I remember him vaguely. And he sent me his email address, and I contacted him. And I said, look, this is what I'm doing. It sounds crazy. Could you maybe contribute 3 to 4 minutes? Anything you want. And he did that. And he sent it about 10 days before that first show went out. And let's take a listen to it now.
It has been a little while since I last switched off a studio microphone. It was in fact 1992 when I decided that I'd worked hard enough and long enough, and that my voice was deteriorating to an extent where I felt that enough was enough. I'd stopped working for Spectrum, my DX program on Radio Australia, and I'd spent the years between 1983 and 1992 at a couple of Melbourne-based local radio stations where I hadn't really been meeting all that many people who were actually older than me, and it was a bit of a worrying thought. Of course, it hadn't always been like that. Some 3 decades before that, when I had taken over from Harry Van Gelder, his world-famous DX jukebox. It had been Harry Van Gelder who had first made me aware of the fact that people did not live forever. It made good sense, also from a journalist's point of view, to make sure that we recorded the voices of some of these people before the inevitable ensured that we would no longer be able to do so. And by way of illustration, Harry grabbed a tape already on his desk that he handed to me. I looked at its contents and found that this tape mainly held obituaries and necrologies of some recently departed famous people, complete with introductions by other, sometimes even more famous ones. And as Harry began jotting down a list of names of people that he thought might like to be interviewed before too much longer, I noticed that Harry van Gelder's name is also on the tape's list of contents. Harry's necrology was already there, complete with an introduction by Radio Netherlands CEO. And the year was 1976, and Harry would live on, of course, for another, well, more than a quarter of a century. Ugh, growled Harry, I suppose I would have been even more upset if I hadn't been on that tape. I don't know if Harry ever listened to that tape. I do, however, remember the list of prospective interviewees he gave me. Amongst others, there was a man who at that time was about to retire from the BBC's monitoring service at Caversham Park in Reading, Berkshire. His name was George Best. Another name coming to mind was that of legendary and long-retired BBC radio engineer Henry Hatch, who had joined the BBC in 1921, even before it became the British Broadcasting Corporation in 1922, and who at age 81 continued to supply Reg Kennedy and Frank Hennick of BBC World Radio Club fame with technical information. I can continue that name dropping for a little while, but another name on it was that of Eddie Statz. Of course, I'd heard the Eddie Statz name before. However, he'd been off air since 1969, and very few people around Hilversum's little radio world had actually seen him, especially since his wife died around 1970. I got my first glimpse of Eddie Statz during Harry van Gelder's retirement reception at Radio Netherlands Studios. I used the opportunity to speak to Eddie, who told me to make an appointment with his secretary. I wasted no time and arranged for him to come to the studio at 2 p.m. the very next day. It was a couple of hours before that when I got a phone call from Eddie's secretary to say that Eddie had died on the tennis court that very morning.
Yes, that was Dick Speakman, sounding very differently from the first clip that we ran just a few moments ago.
He was very ill, wasn't he?
Well, this is what I remember when I got it. I said, "This is it." I couldn't believe that it was him. He sounded so different. Anyway, as that first Happy Station was going out, Tom Meyer sent me an SMS to tell me that Dick Speakman had just passed away.
Wow.
Yeah, he had just passed away on that first show. And what he says in what we just took a listen to actually started making more sense, because he talks, you know, he talked about, you know, when he was going to interview Eddie Statz in 1976, the day before that he did the interview, he was at some party at Radio Netherlands and he saw Eddie, and they arranged the time the following day to do an interview to capture, you know, his words and everything. And basically, the day that he was going to do the interview, Eddie's secretary called Dick to tell him that Eddie Statz had just passed away.
Eddie Statz?
Yeah. Oh. In 1976. So it was kind of interesting. It's kind of, I mean, I think the message now, the thing that he recorded, has a lot more, meaning because of what happened at the time. It was quite interesting. A very interesting radio guy. I have some of his some of the old shows that he did, and we'll run some other clips of him one day. Anyway, moving on to something a little bit lighter now. You know, Paulette, one question that comes up quite frequently is how much material do we have for every show?
Well, Keith, we can't give that secret away, can we?
Well, actually, you know what? We can't. And I did a little bit of a calculation. Yeah, I did a little bit of a calculation. Let me get the paper right here. Okay. For the past every edition of Media Network Plus, right, if I calculate in gigabytes, how many gigabytes of material that we have, we have approximately 785 gigabytes.
That's a fair bit of material.
On approximately, this is approximate because I couldn't find all of them, approximately 28 DVD-ROMs and 3 terabyte hard drives. And, you know, when I was going through thinking of some of the material to use today, you know, something I realized this before, but it really hit me then was, you know, there's so much material that we've never used.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Are you going to take me there?
I'm not talking about radio bloopers or anything like that.
No bloopers, okay.
No. We'll keep that for the end of the year or maybe later on this year. But there's a lot of material here that, you know what, we've never used. It just, there wasn't any time.
Mm. Yeah, I do recall many times running out of time. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny because sometimes when Paulette and I do the show and then I start assembling it together, I have to cut out stuff that I say and you say just to make it fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right now we're going to present a little bit of a collage of just some of the items that we haven't used. And you're saying to yourself, well, are you going to use them at any point? Yes, we are. We're going to use them, some of them this year, hopefully, if we have time, because time goes by very fast. But this is just sort of a little assortment of, you know, let's call it, say, a promo for upcoming stuff.
This is the all-night service of the SABC, broadcasting until 5 o'clock this morning. Very happy hi there, and welcome to music all through the night. Hello also to the listeners from Springbok Radio, Radio Highfield, Radio Good Hope, Radio Port Natal, and Radio 5.
First of all, Eddie, let me welcome you to Montreal in the name of Radio Canada International and all club members.
Anyway, it's great, you know. Well, I've been in America, the United States, that is to say, in the neighborhood of New York, up the Hudson in Tarrytown, where I visit some family, and then Perry Farrell, my publisher of Guilford Associates, brought me up to Boston, that is to say Wakefield, near Boston, and there was a great gathering, a convention of the UNARC.
This is Radio RSA, the voice of South Africa from Johannesburg.
Now, with the clock ticking slowly up to 7 a.m., it's going to be time to welcome Radio 1's first daily show on 247 meters medium wave, whilst breakfast special continues on Radio 2. 10 seconds to go before Radio 1, Tony Blackburn, and Radio 2, Paul Hollingdale. Stand by for switching. Get tuned to Radio 1 or 2, 5, 4, 3. Radio 2, Radio 1, go.
The voice of Radio 1. Just for fun.
Music.
Too much.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the exciting new sound of Radio 1.
Smart set, hallmark of quality, Britain Radio.
Wonderful Radio London.
R&I Music.
Radio London.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Wherever you go. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Caroline.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by... Brought to you on... Brought to you by RADI.
Paulette, a little bit of a collage of some of the material that we haven't been able to use over the past 99 and 100 shows. And
because,
guess what?
Because we ran out of time, just because like we've ran done out of time, right now.
Just like we did right now. Yes, exactly. Now, if anybody out there wants to hear this show again or any of the other past ones, it's easy to do, Paulette, isn't it?
It absolutely is. All you have to do is go to the PCJ website, and that is www.pcjmedia.com. To hear this show, you just go / Media Network Plus, or just click on the show page at the right-hand side of the home page.
And oh, I want to stress once again, because some people are saying, isn't it show 99 or 100? Well, that's because this week there are two versions, the 30-minute version and the monthly 55-minute edition. So we're calling it show 99 and show 100, depending on where you're listening to us on and how you're listening to us on. Now, well, before we...
So it's kind of nice that the listeners get to choose which one is which, right?
Yeah, they can, you know, if they say, oh, this one is better, we'll call it show 100. Sure, go ahead. And if you wish to contact us with your ideas and suggestions for programs, you can always write us at mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. Now, before we go, I just want to tell you about this little sort of a contest that we have where listeners can actually review receivers that we will send to them. The first two that we chose were Jose Pedro Turner in Portugal and Chris Freitas in the United States. And next month, in February, one of them will be joining us for a review of the receiver that he received, and both of them received it. And also next month, we'll be announcing who the next two people are. Anyway, on behalf of myself, Keith Parent in Taipei, Taiwan.
And me, Paulette McQuarrie in Vancouver, Canada.
73's T-Wall and 88's to the ladies.
Just take my hand and come along.
there is so little time to spare. There is a place I'd give the world to see, where the music's softly playing and the rhythm's gently swaying. Underneath the stars in a million bars, guitars are softly saying, Mexico, you got to be in so much to see in Mexico. Take it from me, yeah, you're gonna see the greatest show. Underneath the sun in Mexico, the love we had is just a shadow now. Why did we ever drift apart? Let's get away and start again somehow, where the music's softly playing and the rhythm's gently swaying. Underneath the stars in a million bars, guitars are softly saying, Mexico, being so much to see in Mexico. Take it from me, yeah, you're gonna see the greatest show. Underneath the sun in Mexico. Mexico, the magic has begun in Mexico, underneath the sun in Mexico. Underneath the sun in Mexico, the magic has begun in Mexico, underneath the sun in Mexico.